Turn with me back to the 51st chapter of the book of Isaiah again. Let me take a few thoughts here. I got where I dread these holiday season coming. Wear me out pretty quick with all their talking. I'm a whole lot better listener than I am talker. I sat around and listened to all these stories and how smart everybody is. That's true. That's what I'm... They're all pretty smart, you know, and they... Especially if they get on politics or something, then they all one knows better than the other. No, and they ought to do this, and they ought to do that. I'm sitting there thinking all the time, Lord's doing it already. So y'all are just a little, you're just immaterial. That you don't even play a part in this hardly. But anyway, this whole week now we're going to have bunch, and they're coming and they're going, and every time I turn around, it's go back to the grocery store. I done been four times and got a car load every time, you know, and then I got a list in my pocket I'm supposed to stop this evening and get some more stuff. So it kind of getting expensive too. And I enjoy about half a day of that, and then I'm ready to get it over with and get it through with. There is little knowledge about what true Thanksgiving is. That's the whole problem. What they're thankful for, most of the time I don't see any benefit in it. And what I'm thankful for, they don't see any benefit in it either, so our conversations kind of clash most of the time. Before very long, it kind of clashed. And in the fourth verse, it said, "Hearken unto me, my people." So he's talking about a particular, and maybe a better word, the scripture uses it, a peculiar people. And that's what I'm talking about. What's what I've been talking about the last few minutes is we become kind of peculiar to other people. They don't understand me and I don't understand them a lot of the time. But the Lord knows his people. And he calls that people out. And he's always watching over and taking care of them and sanctifying. That's what Paul was just talking about a while ago. If we could see that clearly, as Job saw, to the end of sanctification. But my people, and give ear unto me, my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment rest for a light of the people. And the Lord rules in judgment. His righteousness is true. Judgment, our true judgment is his righteousness. And the law is always proceeding from the throne. And the law he's talking about here is not the law at Mount Sinai, I don't believe. But he's talking about the law of righteousness. Which is more than that, I believe. I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the very epitome of righteousness. because he was tried. And he came and he suffered all the things that is necessary to save his people. Hearken unto me, O my people, and hear this. And pay attention to it. And take it to heart. And I will make my judgments to rest for a light of the people. What do we rest in? The perfect, righteous judgment of the Lord himself. That is our rest. Will not the Lord of all earth do right? It's a perfect, righteous judgment. Never makes error. Not like our judges and our juries. When the Lord says it is true, that we talked about the plumb line last week, it's not over this far too much, or it's not over that far too much. Always perfectly down the letter. My righteousness is new, and my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. Thy eyes shall wait upon me, and mine arm, and then on my arm shall they trust. We think that arm is our arm, but this is an extension of the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's his arm. That's always extended. If my arm shortened that I cannot save. No, it's not shortened. It's always extended. Always looking out for his people. Extending it to them and guiding them and leading them. And as it were, a staff always kind of whipping them back in line. That is our justification, is the Lord himself. Sometimes we kind of have a little problem with that, and we want to think we're somehow justified in what we do, but we come up being taught a lot of that junk. And sometimes we won't think, well, we done so and so and so. No, the arm of the Lord is his righteousness, which is in Jesus Christ. He said, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. And it'll just vanish away. It's all going to grow old, aren't we? Everybody. And this old body is going to die. Isn't that something? The whole thing, all earth and all the people. It's going to just vanish away. If there isn't the law written upon the heart of man, his whole being will be gone and amount to absolutely nothing. They that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Can't be done away with. Can't be overcome. Can't out-talk the Lord. There have been a few characters in this Bible that tried to out-talk the Lord, but it didn't work out too good, did it? It's what we say nowadays. Well, how'd that work out? Not very well. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. This is a true call here now. Look at me. The people in whose heart is my law. Now we're talking pure righteous judgment in the heart of the people also, because they base it upon the righteousness of the Lord himself and his law. The gospel. The true gospel. The light. Light coming into the world, but they love darkness rather than light. And unless the Lord give them a vision of that righteousness, then it's pure darkness and not light. No wonder they won't come to it. They're not compatible to light. They want nothing to do with light. They don't want to do anything to do with righteousness. They want to have their argument and say, well, I believe. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness, here we go again, shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. It goes on. He said, awake, awake, put on strength. What is the strength? The arm of the Lord. Always look up. In Isaiah 52, verse 9, he said, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. They've all seen it. That is man's, generally speaking, that's man's condemnation. He's made it plenty visible. He's extended it all the way to this earth and below it into the very pits of hell to call up his people. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And in chapter 53 then, verse 11, he said, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So his righteousness is clearly visible if man could see. If he could just see it. But you'd tell a man all day long, see it. He can't see it. Matter of fact, he wouldn't be content to just leave, but he'd have to argue with you that it's not there. Better get everything you want going your way as long as you can, because this fixing to all pass away as an old dirty garment. It'd be over. Nothing show for it. I don't care what kind of retirement program you got. Well, listen. That's what I hear nowadays. It's got to be a plague upon the people. All they can think about is the day that they won't have to work. And it's a disease. What is all that about? It's about the Lord don't know what he's talking about. But they're going to work. They're going to work till they die. That's something. That is sure, sure. It's sure judgment of the Lord. They're going to work whether they like it or not. And it'd be a whole lot better if they'd just be happy working and say, this is what the Lord would have me do. He began that with that in the very beginning. You don't earn your bread. In the 59th chapter. In verse 15, I guess, yea, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil make himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Oh, he's zealous over his people. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries and recompense to his enemies to the islands. He will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him, against the enemy. He's not going to win. He can argue the point all day long, but he's not going to win. The righteous judgment of the Lord is extended to his people, and a Redeemer shall come to Zion. On down verse 20. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. Don't be sanctified, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. No end to it. Over in chapter 63, verse 5, and it said, and I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold, therefore mine arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. And I will mention the love and kindness of the Lord, and the praise of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel. And all Israel shall be saved, which he had bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they're my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. You can underscore that word was. It's done. It's sure. The righteousness of the Lord is extended to the earth. And in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. And the righteousness of the Lord was extended to man. Otherwise, he would have been hopelessly lost without any possibility of being righteous himself. But our righteousness is not our righteousness. Our righteousness is the Lord's righteousness. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's given of God. It's not earned. Not even a gift that you walk up here and get. It's one that the Lord bestows without begging for it.
It is, from a human standpoint, it's sad, it's also grievous. But it's true, the writer of Proverbs says in chapter 20 and verse, 29 and verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. I cannot know. It's Proverbs 29:27. If the light that be in thee be darkness, then how great is that darkness? So, what do we do? We pray for evil. And we pray that God will have mercy on them. If he does, he will open their eyes. He will open their hearts as he did to Lydia on the banks of that river. He will open their minds like he did yours and mine. And they will be able to understand and see how precious the Word of God is and how precious that living Word always will be. The arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, but it will not save the unrepentant. And that is scriptural, isn't it?